We kind of all think, don't we, that no matter how much money we do or don't have, and particularly for those people who don't have a lot of money, we kind of away do think that in our final moments of life, that if we are in a hospital, we're at the stage now of sophistication and of just common decency for all of us, that we will be at least cared for to a particular standard when we're dying, if we're in hospital, if we're lucky enough to be among those great people in our society, like the nurses and the doctors and the consultants. And yet this morning, and I'm still trying to process this morning, the deputy director of the Royal College of Nursing has told the Nolan Show that actually, because of staff shortages, what's happening in Northern Ireland is sometimes, despite the fact that you will be in hospital, you will die alone without a nurse around you. Have a listen to this.
When you talk about the impact of not having effective staffing levels, it's the duties that nurses carry out, such as comforting patients and families when they're dying in their last moments of life, not being able to be there to provide that comfort.
Are you taking that in? People dying in our hospitals in Northern Ireland, and that person who's dying is not being comforted by a nurse because they're not there? Is that really the stage we're at? That's the Deputy Director of the Royal College of Nursing telling us that. We don't have a minister in Northern Ireland, a health minister, so we can't hold them accountable. Usually in these circumstances, the Nolan Show would be on to the minister saying, well, look, this is, you know, is this true? And what's your reaction? And what are you going to do about it? And the last thing I will say about this, and then, of course, we'll get your reaction to this today, 03030 80 55 55. So don't let this be, one of those stories where you're listening to my words and you're driving along and off you go again. Actually take this in, that if one of your relatives is currently in hospital or will be in hospital, that the Deputy Director of the Royal College of Nursing is saying that your mum, your dad, your son, your daughter, your granny, your granddad, in their final moments of life, there might not be a nurse by their side because of staff shortages. 03030 80 55 55. Sean, morning, Sean.
Good morning, Stephen. Listen, it's moving very, very fast from being a national health service to a national wealth service. You will not die through lack of nurses if you're in a private hospital. You probably won't die through lack of nurses in a private nursing home. So one of the issues that concerns me greatly, Erwin Poots was on yesterday, or Edmund Poots, and he referred to the market. Garrett, who was on this morning and whom I know quite well, referred to the market. So they are both seeing it as moving further and further towards privatisation. We train nurses. We pay a lot of money to train them. It takes 3-4 years to train them. How much do private companies contribute towards this?
Well, I think your point is certainly valid for discussion. Of course it is. And the answer to your question is, I don't know.
Well, we need to ask that question.
But we
had nurses coming from abroad for years.
But I do know, on the flip side, Sean, I do know, for example, that when the tap, do you remember the tap was turned off? And I think it was a few years ago, the tap was turned off for funding some private, the NHS using the private sector to do some operations.
Yes.
Waiting lists went up.
Yes, that's correct.
So the private healthcare, you could argue, actually helps within a system to keep waiting lists down.
Okay,
you could argue that.
But I'm looking at an ad here, even in the local paper. Nurses, social workers, support workers, care assistants, etc.
Yeah.
Pay excellent pay rates from £7.50, obviously not for nurses, to £59 an hour.
Yeah.
It is a marketplace. Now, we're short of consultants, GPs, social workers, care workers, and nurses. I would like to thank our politicians for getting us to this stage. They're supposed to be our carers. You talked about civil disobedience just a short while ago in the last section of the programme. It's time for civil disobedience now, real civil disobedience. I would say to the SDLP, to the UUP, and to the other parties, get in the stormont, demand the rights to provide a proper national health service. And if Sinn Féin and the DUP can't do it, demand that they be ignored. That's a real civil disobedience.
Sean, thank you. Vinti in Belfast. Morning, Vinti.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I have a daughter's a nurse, and I know she was out on manual leave there for stress. But, you know, that, just listening to what that guy said there, you know, it's pretty scary to think that someone could be in a hospital and left to be dying on their own.
I genuinely, Vinti, I'm just trying to be honest here, right? I genuinely very rarely get thrown now by something that's said in this programme, because I've been doing it for 20 years and, you know, of course some things are really, really sad and so it goes on, but I genuinely very rarely get thrown. And I didn't want to hear what Garrett said today.
I don't think anybody wanted to hear that stuff, Stephen. But listen, I speak to my wee daughter quite regularly about the work and the pressure that she's under. It's unbelievable. And, you know, see the way you say there, you didn't want to hear it. It is sad and it is scary, but that's the way it's going to be, unfortunately, Stephen, unless something's sorted out. It's horrendous.
Right, so unless something's sorted out, in other words, unless we have a strategy, and I'm talking about us all as citizens of this country, how are we going to improve the health service? How does the health service need to change? You know, the transforming your care policies and what came after it. Do we want to understand that as citizens? Do we want to start, you know, advocating that what our politicians should and shouldn't be doing for us? Or are we going to watch this happening to our mums and dads and granny and granddads? Are we going to watch this happening? The thought that absolutely today or sometime this week, there could be anybody in a hospital of Northern Ireland and their life will be ending in hospital alone.
Because a nurse
cannot be with them because of staff shortages.
Well, you know, when someone comes to the end of their life, Stephen, particularly in places like nursing homes or hospitals or hospices, the last thing, the least that we can give them is a bit of compassion and dignity to die with someone beside them, you know. So, I don't know, Stephen, if that's not a wake-up call to get something done, nothing's going to happen, you know. It's awful.
What's the answer, Vinti?
I don't know what the answer is, Stephen. I'm just a taxi driver. I'm not a very knowledgeable person in that regard, but something needs to be done. It's really sad. You know,
this is happening in front of our eyes, by the way.
Stephen, it's probably been happening for this last couple of years, hasn't it, really? And I think we're just more or less waking up to it now.
I kind of think I'm feeling as well, because part of the role of what this radio programme should be doing is it should be, this whole issue should be a lot more prominent on the Nolan Show. It just should be. It's time. It's time that we drill down into the NHS and this particular issue. Stuart and Claugher. Morning, Stuart.
Yeah, morning, Stephen. I want to share a quick story of my own experience. You know what I mean? My mum and dad both. My dad died about 7 years ago at the age of 60 due to brain cancer. My mum died on the 14th of September this year due to pneumonia. They both died in hospital. They both had their family around them, lucky enough. And you could tell at first hand that the nurses were overstretched. And, you know what I mean, they just weren't be able to get to your mum or dad's bedside as quickly as you'd like them to. But, you know what I mean, common sense tells you that these nurses are overworked on their underpaid. And, you know what I mean, they try their best. So you sort of have to stick with it. But the bottom line is, if you know what I mean, it's great to have this story highlighted, even with domiciliary care nurses as well. They go above and beyond what they're supposed to do. And they're valued to the community, they're valued to the whole society. And I just hope that it gets resolved as soon as quick as possible.
Are you worried, Stuart?
I am worried because my daughter's a trainee nurse. She's in her first year as a trainee nurse. She has another 2 years to do. She sees it firsthand. I mean, she's in her placement now. And she loves the job. She loves nursing. She's a caring woman. She likes to do her job. And that's what she wants to do. She wants to be a nurse. But she sees it firsthand what it's like in hospitals where people are lying in corridors waiting to be given a bed. It's difficult to watch. It's difficult for her to watch. I mean, she loves to have a chat with the patients. All these patients are all got different problems, dementia and stuff like that. And nurses don't get the time to sit at their hospital bed and talk to them. And these people suffer because maybe their loved ones, they don't have loved ones, they're all dead. Very hard this time of the year as well to sit at their bedside, a person to be in bed, and there's no loved one there to talk to them, reassure them that they're going to be okay.
Here's someone contacting me. Thank you. Someone's contacting me saying, I'm still working part-time as a nurse. I'm retired full-time. Still working part-time. I'm flabbergasted that Stephen does not know the standard of healthcare. Lawrence in Samfield. Morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, the problem is government. There's too much of it. This country, just Northern Ireland alone, we have our super councils, we have MLAs, we have MPs, we have MEPs, ministerial cars, expenses galore, heating big bills for them, and no call for half of them. England, Scotland, Wales, all the same. Far, far too many government bodies and too many men sitting in warm offices, drinking coffee and claiming expenses. House of Lords. The money it takes to keep that there for an unelected body. Do away with the biggest majority of them. Put a smaller government in to run the country properly.
We don't have a government.
The national health.
No matter what size it is, it's that small, it doesn't exist.
But you take a look at the amount of government we have in the United Kingdom to any other country. It's ridiculous. So it is. Completely mad.
Lawrence, thank you. Here's another Lawrence, former health worker. Morning to you. You work as an ambulance driver, is that right?
Yes, Stephen. I worked for 34 years in the service, and sadly I became very ill a number of years ago. And in about a three-year period, I was admitted around 25, 30 times. And I can say with my hand on my heart that the nurses here are absolutely fantastic. They're worked off their feet. And when I was in paid post-op, I nearly felt guilty for calling the nurse to give me some pain relief because I knew they were so thin on the ward. There was other people who were literally dying and they were trying to direct their care and attention to them. And, you know...
How recent is this?
This is only like 3-4 years ago. Stephen, it's not 20 years ago, it's only 3-4 years ago. And, as I say, the nurses were run off their feet. Maybe had two nurses for 24, 25 patients on the ward. And a lot of those were surgical patients who's just come out of operations. They had drips. They had monitors, suction, dressings, medication. You know, they're being sick. And you maybe had maybe one nurse and maybe an auxiliary nurse or two nurses. And the nurses never stopped the paperwork and ringing round to get x-rays done and getting bloods done and changing drips. I'll be honest, Stephen. I was in the ambulance service 34 years. I couldn't do what a nurse does today. I just couldn't do it. Absolutely frightening. And no wonder so many nurses. I'm actually married to a nurse. You wonder how many nurses are off on stress and nurses leaving the profession because you just can't cope with the stress, constant stress. And it's been debated before many, many, many times about the shortage. The amount of nursing homes that are closed, which holds up people in the hospital, which then holds up people in casualty, which holds up people in the ambulance. It just goes knock on effect.
If you could see, I've got a screen here which shows me all the calls that are coming into the Nolan Show at the moment.
Yes.
If you could see, well, first of all, every line is jammed about this issue.
Yes.
So this is the issue that we as a society need to concentrate on over the next 12 months. We need to do it. The NHS is the big one, in my view.
Stephen, if you haven't got a healthy population, you have nothing.
But if you could see the different people from all different walks of life that are currently contacting us,
yes,
talking about their mums and dads, and there's someone saying that their mother had a massive stroke recently and how they're being treated. There's a cancer patient I see here who's been told about that she urgently needs reviews, and the reviews are being put back. What on earth is going on?
Stephen, my father was 83 years of age, and sadly he's passed now, but when he was at the accident emergency department, he lay in the cubicle for 12 hours without a blanket. We actually had to put the dressing gown over him to keep him warm. The day duty doctor went off duty, he came on duty the next day, and he seen my father in the cubicle, and he says, "Are you still here?" My father says, "Nobody's even come to check my blood pressure, give me a cup of tea, glass of water, didn't want to go to the toilet, haven't got a pillow, nothing." The nurses didn't have the time to go around every single patient. It was just constant.
Lawrence, thank you. Professor Deirdre Heenan with us this morning. Good morning to you, Deirdre.
Good morning, Stephen.
Can we try to help us with some of the context here? Obviously, we're hearing some quite emotional stories. The context of how much pressure the system is under now.
The system is quaking at the seams, and it's something that we knew was going to happen. We warned would happen. And now we're seeing the manifestation of it. People waiting needlessly, people unable to access service, people in pain needlessly. We have had many, many reviews in Northern Ireland. We know what we need to do. We just seem at a loss to know how to do it. We seem to lack the leadership which says this is totally unacceptable for people in Northern Ireland. It's totally unacceptable anywhere. But why are we not saying this must be addressed urgently? Just seems to be a lack of momentum to say people should not be treated like this. The people who are working in the system, as you say, are working very hard. They're doing the very best they can. But if there isn't sufficient workforce planning, then they just cannot simply meet demand. We need a long-term strategic review to say, where is this workforce going to be needed? We plan for them. We forecast for them. What we do not do then is rely heavily on locum nurses, bank nurses, people brought in on a temporary basis, and then people who want to stay in the system feel that they're so under pressure that they go to other parts of the NHS, they go to England, Scotland, Wales, where they're getting much better working conditions.
So who is currently working on this on our behalf in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think that is a very important question. The question here is, who is in charge? Where is the leadership? Who is driving change? In what other world would you miss every single target? Would targets then be watered down? You're still missing them. You can imagine if you were in a boardroom anywhere else in Northern Ireland and targets were missed, you would be saying, well, what are we going to do about this? This has got to be addressed. This is not good enough. We must do better. It seems in Northern Ireland we miss targets. We're saying to people, for example, the recommended waiting time is 13 weeks. We are asking you to wait 3 years. And that's acceptable. That's totally unacceptable. It should be a moral outrage to say this is not good enough. Of course, we also know that if you, for example, went along in the morning and said, and you're told you need your knee replaced, and I say to you, Stephen, come back in 3 years' time and I'll fix that for you. Of course, you're going to overcompensate on your other knee. Then you'll start to have back problems. Then you'll be at the doctor every week saying, when am I going to get seen? You'll start to take painkillers. You'll have problems with your stomach. You will go off work, you will have mental health problems, and in the end, you will eventually be seen through A&E. So it's a distressing waste of money, it's a very poor system, and it's something that needs to be urgently addressed.
Deirdre, thank you. I want to get as many of you on as possible today, and an undertaking from me that we are coming back to this, and we will be digging into this big time. Maria Nenniskillen. Morning, Maria.
Hi, Stephen. Good morning.
Morning. You're a nurse, is that right?
I'm a nurse, yes, Stephen. I'm a nurse and I'm plodding here around my kitchen and I listen to you most mornings. Stephen, I just wanted to say something. There's something really fundamental going on here.
Well, can I say something to you before you said to me? I think on behalf of many people listening to this programme, thank you for what you do because you don't do it for the money.
And now you're going to make me cry.
But I mean that. But I do mean that.
I thank you, Stephen. So, and I say that on behalf of all my colleagues. Stephen, I just wanted to come back. Many years ago, I trained in the City Hospital in Belfast. And when I was training in the early 80s, fundamentally, when we went into our School of Nursing, one of the great big fundamental aspects of learning how to be a nurse, inverted commas, was when you walk onto your ward as a staff nurse or a student nurse, the first person that gets priority is your very ill or your dying patient. That was the teaching then. It didn't matter. I know our world then wasn't full of targets and ticking boxes and legalities, but that was your first priority. It didn't matter what else was going on. You went to the patient, you went to the family, and you stayed with them or whatever they wanted. And that has changed, not due to the calibre of people coming into the profession. It's basically due to just pressures, all of which have been listed and talked about.
Are you still in nursing?
I am still nursing, yeah.
Will you please, and I know, and it's being pointed out to me, that there was an RCN report that this is a UK-wide issue of people dying alone without medical staff around them. I can see RCN reports describing this as a UK-wide issue, so that's acknowledged.
Yeah.
Please tell me it's not happening, Maria, here in Northern Ireland.
Can I be really honest?
Please tell me.
I work in a unit where I work with the most fantastic people, probably part of the reason I wanted to ring in today, who are just beyond reproach, who I love dearly, who are staff that I've never worked with, and I'm working there for the last 6 years, and they're just the ultimate. And for us, as a group of people, as a group of professionals, and a group of humanitarians, to have a patient die on their own would be ultimately the worst thing that could possibly happen. Do we put everything else aside? But maybe that comes with experience, Stephen. Maybe it's not as easy for a junior nurse. Somebody a little tougher, a little more brazen than I and some of my colleagues, we will say, no. I go, I sit with patients, I sit with the family, but I will always say, do you quietly want me in the room? And most of the time they will say yes. And can I just, I don't want to make a major issue of it, but I just want to pay tribute to so many of my wonderful colleagues. But I also want to say, to be in that position, to hold somebody's hand, to be holding and putting your arm around a relative, at that time, at that stage, is a privilege, Stephen. And a lot of us may forget that, but it is a privilege. You're into a world that...
Is the system broken, Maria?
Pardon?
Is the system broken?
The system is broken, Stephen. It is becoming more broken. But all I can say is the people and the characteristics they have, you know, the determination they have to keep it going. It's going on goodwill, Stephen. That's the bottom line.
Maria, let me say thank you. I'm just aware we have 2 minutes left. Teresa, morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Teresa.
As I said to your researcher, no one knows what goes on behind the scenes in any organisation unless you work in the organisation. The NHS has been dying for the past 20 years. Can I continue?
Yes.
Due to bad management, inexperienced managers, nepotism and bullying within the NHS.
Teresa, thank you. Rob in North Belfast. Morning, Rob.
Even I'll try and keep this brief. It's horrendous what I've listened to this morning, but nonetheless, it is reflective of the situation that we're in. Just to give you an example, I've been in and out of hospital over the last, have been in now for a number of years, but going back 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I would have been in quite regularly, having many operations. And I remember one night, distinctively, there was a nurse on the ward. That nurse was a breaking point. One nurse to 16 other patients and myself, including palliative care patients who were at the end of their life. I found the situation to be completely apparent. Through a friend, I contacted the press office of the hospital in question. And I was in probably about 10 minutes. I had two of the most senior people in the hospital in my room. Within 10 minutes of that, Stephen, there was miraculously other people being brought on to the ward.
Rob, thank you. Unfortunately, we're out of time today, but thank you for bringing the story to us. I want to leave you again thinking about the words from the Deputy Director of the Royal College of Nursing, Garrett Martin, who has described the situation happening here in Northern Ireland.
When you talk about the impact of not having effective staffing levels, it's the duties that nurses carry out, such as comforting patients and families when they're dying in their last moments of life, not being able to be there to provide that comfort.